Father, we thank you this morning that you are the great I am, that you have risen from the dead, you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And we come this morning to celebrate that truth. We say, hallelujah, your love is amazing, steady and unchanging in a world that is always changing, in our lives that sometimes don't seem that steady. You are the solid rock, the constant on which we can stand. Father, we want to come this morning to hear from you, to meet with you. Lord, for you to hear from our hearts. And Lord, you to speak to ours. So God, may you use the words that have been sung to you, the prayers that have been prayed. Lord, as we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together, Lord, as all these things will be done to honor and glorify your name. Lord, speak to us now by the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Everybody, do me a favor. Take out your phones. Everybody, take out your phones. Raise your phones high. Everybody, you got a phone. I know you got it. Raise it high. Everybody, raise your phone high. Look at all these phones. What you see? Wow. All right. Now, I have an enforcer today. I want to challenge you to do something. This is for some of you, this is going to be so difficult, it may cause you to have a seizure. All right? So hang on. I want you to do me a favor. I want everybody to put your phone underneath your chair. All right? Underneath your chair, as I'm getting text messages as we speak. Is that good? All right. So everybody, underneath your chair. Now, here's why I want to do that. And I brought an enforcer today. So he's going to be roaming the crowd. If he catches you with your phone, he's going to arrest you today, okay? He's a federal agent, so don't mess with Stephen, all right? Thank you for your service. Give Stephen a hand, would you? I just wanted to come up here this morning. So now, here's why I want to do that, because moms and dads, we want to set a good example for our students, right? And so sometimes this can be a huge distraction. I know we have the Bible app, and some of you don't have your Bible with you, and so you use that as your Bible app. Let me encourage you to use the screens, all right? Because these things have so many distractions on them, and that way they're on the floor, you can't get them, and then it doesn't, and then, because sometimes it distracts me, and I, as you well know, I am easily distracted. And so we want to be together on the same page. Does that sound good? Thank you for doing that. All of you got to do that at one accord. That is awesome. The floor is going to vibrate probably later on down the line, I'm sure. So just ignore that. Let me remind you, tell you about a couple of things quickly, announcement-wise, I need just to mention to you. Number one, we begin our new journey, our last quarter, our last semester, our last 12 weeks together of the year. We got 11 Sundays left in this. We'll begin this next Sunday morning. If you've not been a part of one, let me encourage you to grab this resource, take it home with you. We'll start in session one beginning next Sunday morning. Powerful. If you're not life groups, we're going to talk about that even this morning. You need to be a part of that. Also, next Sunday morning, we'll have the list of those men in our church, 18 and over, to be nominated for deacons to serve in 2018. We'll have those elections, if you will, 4 Sundays from now, but it'll be in the bulletin next Sunday. So if you do not want your name in there for some reason, some of you had it removed before, and that's fine. Maybe you want to have it back in there. Either way, if you'll let us know in the church office this week, hey, I want my name in, or I don't want my name in, either way, let us know, because we'll be putting those names out to be nominated. You'll be able to nominate a certain number based off of how many deacons we need for the next year. We'll actually vote on those on October the 22nd. So just make that in mind. We didn't have enough room in the bulletin to put all this information in there as well. And then lastly, some of you have asked about the mission trip information. Here's what I've heard from Don Gann from the horse's mouth. If you are a student, as long as an adult is going with you, then you're good to go. And in some cases, if your parent can go with you, we can work it out for another adult to kind of be your sponsor, if you will. If you want to take your family, you can take your family. Now, you're going into areas, just to let you know, that are going to be flooded. These homes are moldy. These homes are obviously gross, if you've ever been a part of a flooded situation. And so you need to think through that for your family and however that works. But if you have family, you want to bring your family, you can do that. The only caveat in that is that you will not necessarily be able to stay together as a family. More than likely, you will not. You will have to be staying with men and women separately, because we're being housed in a church there in Orange, Texas. That trip is October 13, 14, and 15. It's the one Sunday we give you an excuse outside of vacations to miss church, all right? You'll be traveling back. Leave on Friday at noon, come back at work all day Saturday, and then come back on Sunday, October 13, 14, 15, in Orange, Texas, right across the Louisiana line. It's about a five-hour trip or so. And so if you want to be a part of that, I did hear that straight from Don Gann. Some of you asked. So Gavin, I finally got that information. And Jeremy Freeman asked about that. Other families have asked about that. Want to take your family. That would be fantastic. You want to take them. That'll be just incredible. All right? I think there was something else I needed to say, but I don't know where that is. I didn't write it down. So if it's not written down, it ain't going to happen. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, 1 Thessalonians, we'll get that out in a minute, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's like saying individually wrapped, isn't it, students? It's kind of hard to stay 1 Thessalonians sometimes, isn't it? Students, that was, y'all remember that? Y'all not remember that? You're on it. Very good. Very good. 1 Thessalonians 2, we want to dive in together this morning into our third part of our series of the six marks of hitting the mission. The six marks of hitting the mission. Again, our vision frame, just to review very, very fast and quickly, because I think you've got it by now, hopefully. You know, we have a vision frame, we know we have a mission, right? Our mission, let's say it together, is what? Students, bravo, they all let out. That was outstanding, right? Now, so you're going, a mission, what's that? We have a mission. It is this. You just said, heard it together. It is simply our compass. It tells us what we are about as a church family, right? We talk about our map, right? The connect, grow, commit, go. It's our flashlight. It's the why we do what we do. We talk about our motives, the fire, how, or actually that's the how. The motives are our fire, the why we do what we do, right? Those overstatements we've talked about before. And then our map, or rather our measures or our mark, is the target, is that image we use. It's the when. How do we know if we're hitting the mark of that mission we believe God has called us to? And then that vision proper inside of that, where we're headed as a church family. Part of that hope center image of that 5 to 20 year picture down the road. Some of those other images of thinking through next fall, we're going to be averaging 300 in life groups. Those out there pictures that we're working towards even now as we speak. We've made plans now. We've talked to church staff, some of our leadership, and we have made a commitment to go ahead as part of our overall dream of the Hope Center to take all the uniforms. The task force board asked us to take those, so we're going to take all on board all the uniforms for our school district. And so we'll be the single clearinghouse for uniforms. We didn't really ask for that. It just kind of was put in our lap. There was a business that went out of business a few weeks ago. They were selling some things. We were able to get some extra clothing racks and coat hangers. It just all kind of timed beautifully together. And we're going to have to build some more shelves to hold all that. But part of that vision proper, we know where we're going and who God has called us to be. And that fit, that preferred future, which we believe God has out there for us, is part of that vision that God is calling us to. But we are talking about these six marks, right? We've talked about living authentically, right? Living biblically. We talked about that living authentically, the idea of being a genuine follower of Christ. Am I real? Am I genuine in who I am? Living biblically, am I living by God's word? Am I reading God's word? Am I ingesting God's word? Is it a part of my life? Is it transforming my life? We talked about that's why we're doing Wednesday nights, to see those transformative things take place as we learn more about the Bible, how to read it, how to apply it to our lives. How do we read the section we'll read in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians versus how do I read the book of Exodus, right? They're different. How do you read them and how you apply them to your life? And then the third piece we'll talk about this morning is, how do I live connectedly? How do I live connectedly? Now, what's interesting, just to talk about for a moment, authentically and connectedly are very close together. And our vision team, we wrestle with these about having just one and not the other. But as we really kind of really drilled down to what these two meant, authentic really talked about how we live as individuals, right? How we are when nobody else is around, and then how that's reflected once we come into community together. So that authentic is a piece that is then closely aligned and really a part of being connected. Because if you're connected and really being deeply connected, you're going to be authentic, right? But a connected piece kind of dove for us into, am I connected to the church body? Am I connected to a life group? And that didn't really completely do all of what authentic is about. And so we needed both those words to kind of help us really know if we're hitting the mark or not. So am I living authentically? Am I living this life of being a Christ follower? Do people see it? Do people know it? And when I don't see it and don't know it, am I that same person? Biblically, am I in God's word? And connectedly, we'll talk about, am I being connected to the body of Christ? So three other ones we'll talk about next week, desperately, evangelistically, and faithfully. How am I living connectedly? We want to talk about this morning. So we as we start all these, we see in a scripture we'll look at just a moment, how am I living connectedly? We ask this question. Remember, we're not just saying, am I living connectedly? Because the answer can be, well, yeah, I am. But the question is, to what extent are you living connectedly? How are you living connectedly? And so we give you some scriptures, some of which we'll read this morning, some of which we'll just leave there for you to know that all these things we're doing are based on God's word. These are not some random ideas we came up with because we couldn't think of anything else better to do. We really thought these are God's standards for us. These are God's marks, God's measures for us to see and look at ourselves and say, am I becoming transformed? And what does it mean to be transformed, right? And the centerpiece of that, the hub of that, is biblically, and really the other ones kind of come off of that, and that, again, is how we get to connectedly, right? So what does it mean to how do I live connectedly? Here are the statements we put there to help you think through it. Am I deeply connected in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, we're not going to dive into this from the message at all. I'm going to assume that one for just a moment, because we're going to dive into that, what it means to live desperately. That means you're going to be deeply connected to Jesus Christ, right? But I want to not assume that, just to give you that thought process, because if I'm not deeply connected with Christ, then I won't be deeply connected with others. And by the way, let me just tell you why sometimes people, not always, but why sometimes people are not deeply connected to a body of believers, while they're not deeply connected to others, is because they're not deeply connected to Jesus. That's the truth. Why others are, I don't know if I can disciple anybody else, is because we're really not being discipled ourselves. We're really not growing deep in our walk, and so we don't feel like we can help anybody else because we're not where we want to be and need to be, right? That's the idea of being connected. But being connected is being deeply connected in my relationship with Jesus Christ or my Heavenly Father. Secondly, deeply connected to a church family. Not just attending, not just simply a member, but am I deeply connected to the life of my church family, whether that's this church or maybe it's another one somewhere. Thirdly, am I deeply connected to my own family, my personal family, my wife and my kids, or your husband, right? And maybe your parents or your grandparents, however that might look, are you deeply connecting with them? Thirdly, are you deeply connected to a life group and a smaller group? Now, if you pass the smaller group part, we're working towards that. Our plan and prayer is to launch 2018 in January with about 20 leaders to help us begin the initial process of rolling out our discipleship blueprint, to helping people connect deeper in a smaller group, even than a life group, to do life together. And we're going to talk more about that and unpack that as it comes. But are you connected to a life group? Well, I have been, I was, I am sometimes. We want you to understand, and without any hesitation or reservation, if you're going to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and become a fully devoted follower of Him, then we believe without any question that you are a part of a small group. No question. I think it's biblical. I think God sets it out very clearly in the book of Acts. They met together in small groups. Acts chapter 2, we read it in our life group journey this morning. Acts chapter 4 mentions the same thing. The disciples got together. Why? Because when you get in a group this size, you cannot be deeply connected. You can't. Someone in the front row cannot be deeply connected to someone in the back row. It just doesn't work. You can't. There's no way. There's too much distance. There's too many people. There's not enough time, right? So that's what those smaller groups are for. You're deeply connected. So that's a question you need to ask yourself. Fifthly, are you regularly connecting with someone who knows me completely? In other words, are you connecting with somebody who you can be authentic with, real? Let your hair down. Let the skeletons out of the closet. Be honest about where I am. Ask the questions you have. Confess the sin that you're struggling with. And be able to say, I need to know that you will love me and you will be there for me, and you will not judge me, and you will pray with me and hold me accountable. Do you have anybody in your life like that? I want to encourage you, if you don't, then here's the good news. We're moving that direction to hopefully help engage that process to happen. All right, so I don't have anybody that's terrible. No, don't go there. Now, life groups, I don't want you to feel terrible, but I don't want you to feel convicted if you're not in a life group, all right? I want you, because we've got life groups, right? We don't have the small groups yet, per se, like we want to have them, though you can go and find somebody to hold accountable and do life with. By all means, don't wait on us to do it. You can do it at any time you choose to do that. But we want to provide that vehicle for you to do that. Then lastly, are you regularly connecting and sharing life with others? Things like sharing a meal with others, believers and non-believers alike, praying with others, listening to others, encouraging others, serving with others, and doing life with others. On each of these, we've given you kind of a scale, 1 to 10, and maybe a word picture to help you think through that. Remember last week's on the Bible, is your Bible a tabletop book, a coffee table book, or is it a recipe book? This morning, about being connected, are you a vault? Are you isolated inside that vault that you've closed off to everybody else? Nobody is in it but who you let in it? Or are you an open and full, complete access? Are you like the bank teller that you've got access to? Or are you like when you go in the bank, the vault you've never seen before? I'll never forget the first time I got to go into a vault. And then you got the lock boxes in there, but you still don't see the whole part of the vault. I had a church member in Alabama. She worked at the bank. And she said, I want to take you in the vault. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, I've never been in a vault before. I said, it's going to need one question. The door has to stay open, because I have claustrophobia. If the door closes, it's going to be really bad for you. So she's like, no, we'll leave it open. It's no problem. And we got back in the vault, and I was expecting like to see like just stacks of cash, you know, everywhere. It's not like that at all. It's not. It's all hidden in boxes and in vault, you know, it's all this kind of stuff. But I was like, man, I have gone into the inner sanctum of the bank. I mean, like, nobody gets to go here. I was like somebody special. But if you go in that vault, only certain people are allowed in that vault. Here's my question to you. How do you ask the question? Are only certain people allowed into your life? Now, let me say this as a premise, an understanding. We're not inviting all 300 of us to come into the life of each other. We're not all going to be best friends. We're not all going to be accountability partners to each other. We're not all going to be in a small group together. Otherwise, it won't be a small group, right? And so it's okay. So I'm not going to be let my hair down in front of you, in front of the whole congregation, kids, and everybody else about everything that I'm struggling with. That's not the time or place to do that. It's in a much, much smaller setting. But am I an open book? Can you come to me and talk to me? And can we share and do life together? That's what it means to be connected. So we see in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks to the church at Thessalonica, right? And we see as he talks to them, we kind of get this feel of Paul, and yes, it's in other places, of what it looks like to be connected, right? As he writes to them, he shares his heart with them, and time's going to leave me. I want to read the whole chapter, but I want you to skip down to verse number 8 quickly, and I want you to see the crux of this story here as he shares his heart with the church of Thessalonica. He's telling them, I've come to you, I've shared, I've done this, I've done that, I've taught you this, but then in verse number 8, he kind of hits the whole center of this chapter. Here's what he says, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become so dear to us. I just remember what the other thing was I was going to tell you. It just came up right now. It goes right with this verse. I got to tell you. We got an email. How many of you, when I say the word sangal sakadal, know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. All right, good. Over here on the wall, back here on this back wall over here. I think 3 years ago this December, maybe four now. Is it four, Melanie? I think it's four. 4 years ago in December, we adopted and we embraced the Sangal Sakadal people group. Right? And we've been on, we think we counted five or six trips over the last 3 years, including a vision trip and our own trips as well. And we've not seen a ton of movement yet, though we knew on the front side that it was going to be a 5 to 10 year commitment before we would be able to see a sustained church planting movement. There's a new missionary that we'll hope to have in our pulpit next year that we got to talk to. I'm not going to say his name out loud because we're on video, but it's to protect him. But he's there in a city that we fly into on the island where we minister. Right? In Southeast Asia. And we made that commitment. And so we were talking. And he got an email this morning from him. We had a video conference call Thursday with him. Technology sometimes is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, we were able to talk face-to-face. We never met this guy. We were able to talk. He's halfway around the world. It's 9 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock in the morning our time. Melanie and I got a chance to talk to him and share with him and him share with us. And so in the last 3 days, he's been asking all kinds of questions. Folks, we have discovered, our Sakata team doesn't even know this, those of you who've been before, this is exciting news, right? There are some partners that are in the wings waiting for us to partner with to reach what is called the cousins. The cousins, who is that? Though you've been on a mission trip there, who are the cousins? Somebody's been on a trip before, who do we call the cousins? Right, exactly, Muslims, right? They call them cousins there. And there are some people we're going to be able to partner with. There are some resources, some front door things which we'll be able to talk about in the coming days. I won't do that because it's on video right now, but I will share with you later. It was a chill bump on chill bump moment this morning when we realized that God is answering your prayers. So speaking of that, you have an opportunity to go in December on a groundbreaking trip. If you've not gone yet, Stephen Davis, you can't get any safer, right? Federal agent, you're safe, right? You're good, right? He will protect you if you're worried about that. We need 4 people to go. One's expressed interest. We need 2 more people to go at least, if we get that group of 4, to go in December. In December? Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Go in December, have an incredible opportunity to experience Lottie Moon in a new and a fresh way, in a real way, a Lottie Moon Christmas offering, right? International missions. Go there and be on the ground floor of us having some of these potential conversations, and also in 2018. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I am so excited about that. I almost just changed my sermon. I'm so excited that God is answering our prayers. God is answering our prayers for us to reach this unreached, unengaged people group with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. To the ends of the earth and right here. Connected. What do we want to do with them? Just share the gospel with them? No, we want to share our lives with them, which is what we've been doing over the last several years, is sharing our lives with them. So let me ask you just 4 quick questions, and I'm going to blow through this because we don't get the Lord's Supper together. Here it is. Number 1, why be connected? Why be connected, Pastor? Brad, I mean, really, why do I have to be connected? If I don't want to be, don't feel like I need to be, my personality's not that way, I don't really think that's scriptural, which I believe it is without any hesitation or question. And here's why. Number 1, we're commanded to be. We are commanded to live in community together. There is nothing in Scripture that ever gives any indication that a Christian is a lone ranger Christian, that you live on an island, that you do life by yourself. It is not biblical. It is not scriptural. When you find anybody who would tell you that, simply ask them this question. Please take me where it is in scripture that tells you that is how you live your Christian life. I believe God has commanded us to live in community. When he says, like in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Right? He warned two tribes that when they moved to the promised land, even the Old Testament, he wanted to live in community. And two tribes wanted to live outside the promised land. And God gave them grave warnings. If you live outside of the promised land, you are in danger. We're commanded to be in community and connected together. Secondly, we are created to be in community together. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 or 2 and 3, where we see where God creates a woman, because he creates man first and said it's not good for man to be alone, right? So he creates a woman to be together in a family relationship together. That's key, but I think it goes far beyond that. It starts there, but it goes much beyond that. We go into Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. They were doing life together. They were created to be a part of the body of Christ. The church body was never intended to be a body of one or two people. It's designed to be a group of people. Now that may be different sizes. That could be a group of 10, or it could be a group of 1,000. It's different, but nonetheless, we are created to be by God. You are wired to want to be in relationship with other people. I don't care if you're the most introverted human being in the world, right? God created you to be in relationship. Thirdly, we are compelled to be. Because we are commanded and created to be connected to each other, that's the only way we can live and flesh out those one another statements. You're compelled to be. If I know I'm commanded to be by God, if I'm created to be that way, it's part of my DNA, then I am compelled to do it, because here's the deal. How else can you fulfill the commands of Scripture that say these things? And I preached a sermon on this last summer at Mount Vernon. We're called to accept one another, to admonish one another, to reprove one another, to agree with and show tolerance for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to clothe yourself with humility towards one another, to confess your sins to one another, be devoted, to love one another, encourage and build up one another, forgive, give, hospitable, kind, live in peace, pray for one another, and serve one another. You can't do those things if you're not a part of a body of believers and deeply connected to it. Now, you can choose not to be, but I want to tell you that God's call and the greatest way to live a joy-filled Christian life, to live the abundant life, to live a transformed life, is to be deeply connected to a body. And when you don't have that, listen to me carefully, because you created that way, there is a hole inside of you that is not full until you fulfill God's call to be connected to a body of believers. It's biblical. Fourthly, because we are changed. We are changed. What do I mean by that? Well, here's the deal. When you do life together with people, when you're connected to people, you know what it does to you? It changes your life. I have a drawer. If you sat at my computer and sat at my desk, to my right drawer, I have a drawer. It is what I call my encouragement file. And I have inside of it cards, letters. If you've ever written me a card or an email and it was encouraging. Now, if it was not encouraging, I have a separate file for those. But I've never gotten any of those here, honestly. That's the truth. I've been blessed. But I've gotten lots of encouraged ones. And I keep every single one of them. There's not one over the years. I had a little girl in Baton Rouge. Patty, my in-laws are here celebrating LSU's loss yesterday. And by the way, let's not go any further than that. I mean, let's be honest. It's good for our Alabama people that moved from Alabama. Congratulations. You owned the state of Mississippi yesterday in a biblical way. There is no question. Wow. But anyway, so somebody asked me, can I give them a Roll Tide? I'm like, for beating a high school football team? No, you can't. So anyway, I'm an Ole Miss fan. I can say that. That's legitimate. That's true. So y'all got me off subject. Y'all stop that. So anyway, there's a little girl that was in my youth group back in the day, like 20 years ago. You know who I'm talking about when I say it. She wrote me an encouragement card no less than once a week. Almost every single week. Leave a note on a card. Man, your sermon meant something to me tonight. Just to know I'm praying for you. I kept all those cards. And throughout the years, for the 27 years I've been doing this, I've kept every single one of those. You know why? Because it reminds me. It changed my life. God has used me, and God has used them to change me. See, being a part of, why be connected? Because it'll change you when you're connected. You come alongside people that are struggling and suffering, and you serve and you love and you forgive and you confess and you humble yourself and you do all those one another's together. It will change you. Somebody was talking about this week. They said, you know, I missed church. I was on this trip and on this, and I missed 2 or 3 Sundays in a row. And he said, my life was empty. I was missing something. We need each other. Why be connected? Because we're commanded to be, we're created to be, we're compelled to be, and we are changed. Secondly, what connects us? What are the things that connects us? It's a great question to ask. Well, what am I to be? How do I get connected? What compels me to be connected? Here's the four things. Number one, the Holy Spirit. The main reason, the only way you're going to ever be connected is if you yield your life to the Holy Spirit and be full of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the deal. By our nature, we'll want to not be connected. But the Holy Spirit will work in you as you pray, God, help me to want to be connected. And He'll answer that prayer. He'll fill you to want to be a part of a church family. Secondly, our church family. How do I be connected? Being a part of a church family. We're reminded of our need for one another, the need we have for each other in our lives. We have needs or we see needs in other people's lives that changes us, or at least it should. That's why just attending a church is not enough. That's why you wanted to step over the line and join, but not just join and have your name on a roll, which we have hundreds of those people on our church roll that we never see. And the question is, are they really a member in name only? So my question to you is, I know these are challenging words for some of you, but here's the deal. Are you a member of a local body of believers? If you're not, then the next step for you is to become a part of a body of believers. But not only become a member, but become a member that is a part, that is deeply connected. In doing that life together, in church together, it changes us, right? Thirdly, our similarities and our differences. What connects us? Our similarities. We got similarities. We're a lot alike. Right? There are a lot of things we share in common together. You might share more things in common with others, right? Some of you are big hunters, right? Some of you love to hunt. Some of you, hunting. No way, not me. Bambi is my friend. You terrible people, right? That you shoot all these things, right? Some of us love certain kinds of things and others of us don't. So here's the thing. We have a lot of things that draw us together, but here's the other thing. When we're part of a body and we're connected, even our differences draw us together. Right? What are you talking about? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read it in our life group material this morning, right? So in your life group this morning, what does it talk about? We're all what? How many bodies are we?
One.
We're one body, but yet we have hands, and we have feet, and we have eyes, and we have heads, and we have toes, we have knees. All these parts of the body are all important. But if you're by yourself, there's only one part. You can't be 12 parts. And yet God encourages us here that a church family, that even our differences, we need other people. We need people that can serve. We need people that can preach. We need people that can teach. We need people that can lead. We need people that can follow. We need people that can organize. We need people that can take care of details. We need people to work with younger children. We need people to work with older kids. We need all of those things and in between. So what connects us? Our similarities and also our differences. And lastly, our life experiences. Our life experiences. Similar or close to our similarities and differences, we all have life experiences. And some of us have life experiences that are close together. I've had that experience. I've been there and done that. You know what that does? That connects us together. Right? I have a story, and there are some people in this church body that I am connected to because of my story and because of their story. And we're deeply connected because we share something that is a wound in our... A lot of times, by the way, these life experiences are wounds that otherwise, outside of the body, can never be healed. But inside the body of Christ, that's where we can live out our lives together with those life experiences, the good ones and the bad ones. That's why our life groups are done by life stages. So we're all talking together, and we feel like we come to life groups or worship, and we think, I am the worst parent in history. Don't amen, students, please, okay? I'm the worst parent in history, right? Nobody understands what I have to deal with, right? Nobody's like, I yelled at my kids, I did this, I did that. And some other person says, man, I feel like I'm the worst parent. We go, I can relate to that. Life experience. Teenagers, y'all can go in your classes and bemoan how horrible your parents are and how they're the Antichrist. We know, we think y'all are. Here's the good news, teenagers. When you turn 19, we will become the coolest people you've ever met. Just like we were when you were 10. I promise. It will. Just hang tight. Now here we're going, there's no way. Trust me. Trust me. If my mom and I can be friends today, trust me, so can you. All right, thirdly, notice this. Thirdly, what does it mean to be connected? What does it mean to be connected? Four things Paul gives us in this verse. Number one, to be connected means we share the gospel. If you're connected to a person in a relationship, then the first thing that ought to be a part of your relationship as you get to know them, not necessarily initially, immediately, but as you get to know them, somewhere in that conversation needs to come up the gospel. So if you've got a friend you've been a friend with for 5 years and you've never, ever, ever brought up the gospel, then you're not connected to them. You don't really know them. You need to be deeply connected. The Bible, Paul says this, we were delighted to share the gospel with you. Are we delighted? Is it a joy? Is it a privilege? Is it an opportunity to share the gospel with people? Because what is going to transform their life? It's not you or me. It's only the power of the gospel that will transform their lives. We share the gospel. Secondly, we share our lives. I love what Paul says here. We didn't just come and share the gospel and whip out our six shooter and whip you with the gospel and shoot it at you and then walk out the door. We shared our lives with you. You see, this is where, let me just kind of let you in on a little secret here. Why is the church in America struggling? And by the way, it is, if you don't know. We're in a season, this year, 2017, has been a struggle for our church. We have declined in our numbers overall this year. What are we trying to pray through? What are all those reasons why? One of those reasons, and the church at large, here's why. Because we're not sharing our lives together. See, here's the challenge. We're not getting deeply connected. We can do it at a surface level. We walk in, we walk out. But the challenge is, that the encouragement is, the beautiful picture is that we share our lives together. It means, what do? We go deep. We share not only the gospel, we share our lives. And what are we talking about? We're talking about discipleship. These last one of the six we gave you, we're doing life together, praying together, eating a meal together, serving together, right? Some of you go on a mission trip, you understand that you'll go on this trip to Orange, Texas, and you're going to have stories that nobody else is going to have. Because you're going to go do life together. Somebody's going to hit their hand on with a hammer on their finger. And you're going to find out who they are. Right? Something's going to not go the way you planned. Something's going to break down. Something's going to happen. And you're going to be able to share life together as you serve together. Notice these last two. Share affection. He says here, we were delighted and you have become so dear to us. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your church family? Do you need your church family? I mean, do you need them to sense, I love my church. Now, here's the challenge. I've met people. Man, I love my church. I love it. It's the best church ever. Now, I've not been in 6 months, but I love my church. That's like me saying, I love Mr. Gaddy's pizza. Okay, and I know some of you all have our different pizzas. That's our differences that make us like each other, okay? I grew up with Mr. Gaddy's Pizza in Jackson, Mississippi, right there near my house, my neighborhood I grew up in. I had the little fake tree and the thing, and had Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man on the tabletop. Y'all remember those games? Those were awesome, right? And I loved the pizza. It's the best pizza ever. And it's been a part of God's call of me going to different places. You laugh not. When I went to Denham Springs and I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as I was driving down, I figured if God had called me here, I literally drove by a Mr. Gaddy's Pizza. And God spoke to me. Rebecca and I, this is no lie. We've never been to Hattiesburg. I'd never been to Petah my whole life. I didn't know there was an Evelyn Gandy exit. I didn't know what exit 69 was. I didn't know where it led. I'd never heard of Petah. This is the truth. That's the honest truth. Lived in Mississippi until I was 18 years old. I never heard of Petah. Drove to Petah. We came here one time. We visited. Remember the committee? We came back in December to kind of look around, look at some houses. Is this where we want to raise our kids? That kind of stuff. We visited the school. We go to Hattiesburg. We drive down 98, and whoa, I mean, it was like light shined from heaven. Rebecca said, Brad, there's God's call. It's Mr. Gaddy's Pizza. Now, Chris, the only problem was it took us till, March for me to figure that out, right? It would have been nice if it was in December, I know. But it spoke. So I love Mr. Gaddy's Pizza. And I want you to know, when I have the opportunity, and my kids say, we want pizza, we want to go to Gaddy Town, I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Look, I love, anytime I can go to Gaddy Town Pizza, I am going to go to Gaddy Town Pizza. That's not me saying I love it, but you ever go? No, I don't ever go eat there. Mm-mm. Don't you love it? Oh, I love it. I love it. But it's right over there. I know it, but it's not. You see the difference? I can say one thing, but unless it's reality in my life, it means nothing. Notice the last one here. Share our joys and sorrows. We mentioned this already. We share in community. What helps us? What helps us be connected? Our joys and our sorrows. Those are explanatory. Notice the last one. We got to move through here. The last one. When we are connected, what happens? Four things and we're done. We are stronger. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says one is okay, but two is even better, and three is even better, right? Because when somebody attacks you, something comes upon you, three, it's like a cord or a rope that is tied together that is not easily broken. One by itself can be cut quickly. You tie two together, it's a lot harder. You put three ropes together, it's almost impossible to break it apart without a lot of effort. When we are connected, we are stronger together. You get picked off by the enemy. We have people who have left our church, who are not attending anymore, who are not a part of the body. And why? Here's why. I'll tell you why. As a result, they're weak. They're anemic, spiritually speaking. Paul Tripp says this statement in his book, Whiter Than Snow, Meditations on Sin and Mercy. We were not created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God. Ties us to next week. And in a loving, humble, worshipful, and loving dependency on God, in a loving, humble, and interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all that we need within ourselves, so we settle for relationships that never go beneath casual. We defend ourselves when the people around us point out our weakness or wrong, and we hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources God has given us. We are stronger. Secondly, we stay on target. We stay on target. When I hear this one, I can't help but think of one of my favorite kind of movies the Star Wars movies, right? I can still hear that guy, stay on target, right? Luke's trying to go in there and shoot the little thing right there and shoot the little missile in there, and the guy's saying, stay on target. What's happening? All the TIE fighters, they're coming in, and all those guys are trying to shoot him and kill him, right? And he's saying, stay on the target. We need people because guess what? We're all spiritually ADD. We all get distracted by the things of the world very easily, and we need people and reminders to say, stay on target. Stay on target of engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. People will tell me from time to time, good grief, Brad, you're in such a hurry. You talk fast. You talk loud. Why? Because hell is hot and time is short. We don't have a lot of time, folks. You know, I'm 15. I'm 25. I got plenty of time. Hey, the older you get, you know it. And some of you older folks than me, you know what I'm talking about. The days go by so much faster. And the people, the older you get, the less receptive to the gospel that they become. We don't have time to waste. Life is joyous, it is. But folks, it is a battle. And we need people to remind us to stay on target. And by the way, it's not just the preacher's job. It's our job together to look at one another and say, are you on target? Are you on target, friend? Are you being authentic and biblical and connectedly and desperately, evangelistically and faithfully? Notice these last two. And good news for you, my last page did not print. The last two, we are encouraged and we are challenged. We are encouraged and we are challenged. When we're connected, we get encouraged. You ever get discouraged? You ever want to quit? You ever want to just say, forget it? I'm upset with God. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. I'm angry. And somebody comes alongside us and says, it's all right. I hear you. I've been there before too. And then people will love us enough to get up in our face and say, listen, I love you, but I'm concerned about you. I'm not here to judge you or point out things in you, because when I point at you, there's four fingers pointing back at me, three, however many it is, however we want to do that pointing the finger, but it's more at me. So listen, I love you enough to challenge you. We're stronger, we stay on target, we're encouraged, we're challenged, and lastly, we're a witness to a lost and dying world. What does the Bible tell us? What does Jesus say to them? He says, the world will know you are my disciples. Watch this. Don't miss this. Not by how cool your church service is. Not by how pretty your building is. Not because of the location of your building. Not because who are those that make up the membership of that church. Listen to me. Don't miss this. I know you're putting your stuff up. Listen to me. By the way you love one another. I know this doesn't happen in small town Petal, but it's happened in other places I've lived. There's a restaurant that goes on Monday mornings, and there's a group of people that go to different restaurants and discuss church from yesterday. We don't have that in Petal. We might. And the topic of conversation, I've been told through anonymous sources that it's things like, you know, how long was your preacher, and how loud was the music, and how was this, and how was that. But what's missing out of these conversations is this. All you hear is the negative about their church. And I'm thinking to myself, who's overhearing this that's lost? Instead of hearing people say, man, God touched my heart yesterday. I was in awe of the beauty of God. God convicted my heart that I've not been where I need to be. I got to pray with a friend who's struggling. I'm going to go serve somewhere in Texas. I'm going to go on a mission trip to the ends of the earth. You see, my friends, that attracts a lost and dying world. Because you love your body believers. Now, are we perfect? Is Petal First Baptist perfect, church? No, because you and I are a part of it. Therefore, it is not perfect. Good news. That means we can all be a part, because none of us are perfect. But do we love this place? And not the place, but the people. Are you deeply connected? As I close and we move to a time of invitation quickly, here's the thought. Back a few weeks ago in this session three of the journey, there was a conversation about redwood trees out in California. And here's my challenge to us as I've reflected on that this week. They talk about a nursery of these trees versus them being planted together in a forest and their roots intermingling together. Those redwood trees are incredibly strong, and they're very old in California. One of the reasons they're very strong is because their roots literally wind together. But he talks about a nursery of redwood trees. And they're together, but watch this. They're all isolated in their own individual buckets. You see, connectedness is important, but proximity, being close together, does not mean you'll be connected. For to be connected, it takes work. It takes the intermingling of our lives together into this beautiful picture of what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, the one body of Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we move to a time of invitation, and after that, a moment to be connected together in the Lord's Supper, a powerful illustration of our connectedness, not only to you, Lord, and it is a beautiful picture of that, of what you did on our behalf. And Lord, it's amazing when we stop and think, Lord, about you and how you came to this earth. You didn't need other people, but you chose to be connected to your disciples. Lord, you didn't have to touch every person that you healed. You could have come and in one instance healed all those people at one time. But what did you do? You touched them. You hugged them. You embraced them. You put their lives around them. Lord, you connected with them. And so, Lord, our call this morning is to connect to you. So I pray for any person that is not connected to you as Lord and Savior, that this morning you would give them an opportunity to connect to you. And you've given it. It's right here. Lord, to accept you as their Lord and Savior, to ask you to forgive them of all their sins, to admit that they're a sinner, to believe that you are the Son of God, that you loved them and came and died for them, to see that they can confess you as their Savior and commit their life to you as Lord. I pray for people to be connected to you, for others to be connected to their family, not really deeply connected to their spouse, their kids like they need to be and want to be. For others are not connected to a life group, but Lord, they're condemned this morning to be, I want to be connected to a life group. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be one the next Sunday morning. Others say, I want to be a part of a smaller group than that. I want to be a disciple. I want to be part of a relationship and make the effort and that commitment as it's veiled to before them. Lord, for others to come and join this church family, say, I know you're not looking for members, preacher. I'm looking for people who want to come and be a part of the body of Christ. Now, sometimes we've got to be loved on because we're hurting, and that's certainly a part of it. But Lord, for people to call and become and say, I want to be a part of serving this body, to be connected. God, would you speak to us in this time, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond together. Let's stand together. Josh, Chris, and I are at the front to receive you. Would you come right now as God leads you out? You come right now.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. A place where sin and shame are powerless. There my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here arms open wide, here you save my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Supper. I've got a video to watch as our deacons come to place. Let's prepare our hearts together. Together is communion. We do this together as a body of believers. We don't do it separately. We've done in recent years, we do it with homebound folks because they're not able to be here. One of the things they always talk about is, I miss communion so very much. I've been with my church family because it's something we just do as a body of believers. And so it's a very special way. We want to do it today because we're talking about being connected. And one of the ways we're connected is through the two ordinances the Lord has given us, through baptism and through the Lord's Supper, to remember what Jesus did on our behalf, how far he went on behalf of you and me so that we could have a relationship with him. We come to the table to celebrate, to remember, to reflect on what Christ has done for us, to celebrate the bread, his body, and the cup, his blood that was shed for you and for me. The word of God tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse number 14, and when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat this meal again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and said to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me at the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. Put woe in that man who one he has betrayed. Father, I pray as we gather this Lord's Supper table to partake of the body and the blood of you, our Savior, who gave everything for us, that there will be a sense of connection, Lord, deeply with you. Lord, that we have made our hearts ready and prepared to partake of this Lord's Supper in a right manner that will be honoring and pleasing to you. We've confessed sin, that we are right with our brothers and sisters, and we take it as a remembrance of you. But also, as we are connected as the body of believers together, We take this together in celebration and in thanksgiving to you, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Took that bread knowing, looking at it, knowing his body was about to be ripped in shreds for you and for me. Not only for those disciples at that moment, but he had you on his heart and his mind at that moment. What incredible love. He looked at them and said, "Take, eat this bread in remembrance of me."